So Allah instructs us, O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid. Meaning when you worship Allah, put your clothes on. Put your clothes on. And especially, the word that has been used for clothing is zina, which shows that the clothes should also be beautiful in the sense that they should not be dirty, filthy, they should be clean. When we go to a masjid, our clothes should not be such that others are bothered by the smell. No, they should be clean. So, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. But this doesn't mean that a woman also when she goes to masjid, she should be all decked out head to toe, because Allah says, you know, when you go to the masjid, you should be looking beautiful. No, you should look beautiful, but Allah also says, the women should not display their adornment. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will be in the end of my ummah, people who will ride vehicles that are like baggage, like a saddle. Meaning very different kind of vehicles, they will ride on them. They will arrive and descend at the doors of the mosques. Their women will be dressed yet naked. On their heads will be like the humps of thin bukht camels. On their heads will be humps. Like what? Like those of thin camels. Meaning thin from below and big from top. Curse them, for indeed they are cursed. This is serious. We should see, how is it that we come to the masjid? When we go to worship Allah, are we dressed in a way that is improper? Is our hair tied up in a way that is not correct? The action could be very good, but if we're not doing it in the right way, this could be very dangerous. وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. And eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. But be not excessive. Why? Because indeed, He does not like those who commit excess. Neither in food, nor in clothing, nor in dressing up. There is a moderation, a limit to everything. But in this moderation, we should not go to the other extreme either. Because say, who has forbidden the adornment of Allah, which He has produced for His servants, and the good, lawful things of provision? Meaning Allah produced clothes for people to use, and other blessings also. So do not forbid it on yourself. Say, they are for those who believe during the worldly life, but exclusively for them on the day of resurrection. Thus do we detail the verses for people who know. Say, my Lord has only forbidden immoralities, what is apparent of them and what is concealed. So any immorality, whether it is in speech, action, in the thoughts, on the TV, on the phone, computer, theater, party, whatever it may be, if it's fawahish, it is forbidden. And sin also, open or hidden, Allah has forbidden it. And oppression without right. And that you associate with Allah that for which He has not sent down authority. And that you say about Allah that which you do not know. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. And for every nation is a specified term. So when their time has come, they will not remain behind an hour, nor will they precede it. O children of Adam, if there come to you messengers from among you, relating to you my verses, then whoever fears Allah and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. But the ones who deny our verses and are arrogant towards them, those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. What is arrogance towards the ayat of Allah? I know, I'm not going to do it. And who is more unjust than the one who invents about Allah a lie or denies His verses? Those will attain their portion of the decree. Until when our messengers, angels, come to them to take them in death, they will say, where are those who you used to invoke besides Allah? They will say, they have departed from us, and will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. Remember, when we die, nobody is going with us in our grave. Nobody at all. We are alone. So, we should worry about that time, when we're answerable to Allah alone. Allah will say, enter among nations which had passed on before you of jinn and mankind into the fire. Every time a nation enters, it will curse its sister until when they have all overtaken one another therein, the last of them will say about the first of them, our Lord, these had misled us, so give them a double punishment of the fire. He will say, for each is double, but you do not know. Because generally what happens when we do something wrong just because somebody encouraged us, and when we are in trouble, who do we blame? Ourselves? Never. We say, she told me, he told me. In hellfire also people will try to use this tactic. Will it work? No, it will not work. So what do we see? That when a person has done something wrong, then he cannot offload his share of punishment on somebody else. He cannot put his burden on somebody else. Each is responsible for what he or she has done. And the first of them will say to the last of them, then you had not any favor over us, so taste the punishment for what you used to earn. Meaning, why are you blaming me? Why are you blaming us? You were also responsible. Indeed, those who deny our verses and are arrogant toward them. Deny and they're arrogant. What is arrogance towards the ayat of Allah? To refuse to comply. To leave what has to be practiced. To not bring into action what Allah has ordered. This is pride. The gates of heaven will not be opened for them, nor will they enter paradise until a camel enters into the eye of a needle. Impossible is their entry into paradise. And thus do we recompense the criminals. Remember, everybody is not going to paradise. Who is going to paradise? Those whom Allah allows. Because Jannah belongs to Him. Who is it that Allah will allow? Those that He is pleased with. And who is it that He is pleased with? Those who have shown obedience to Him. And those who have done otherwise, when they're not going to Jannah, what's the other destination? Hellfire. They will have from hell a bed and over them coverings of fire. And thus do we recompense the wrongdoers. But those who believed and did righteous deeds, we charge no soul except within its capacity. Those are the companions of paradise. They will abide therein eternally. And we will have removed whatever is within their breasts of resentment. Are there times when you feel like just pulling your heart out and throwing out of it that which is filthy? That you can't get over it. You can't get along with somebody and you're like, what do I do? If I could just yank out those bad feelings, how do you do that? Sometimes you want to forgive, but you find it difficult to forgive somebody. Allah says, we will remove whatever is within their chests of resentment, while flowing beneath them are rivers. And they will say, praise to Allah who has guided us to this. And we would never have been guided if Allah had not guided us. Certainly the messengers of our Lord had come with the truth. And they will be called, this is paradise which you have been made to inherit. Bima kuntum ta'amaloon. Because of what you used to do. So in order to get to Jannah, what is necessary? Iman and amal. Action. Even though our actions can never be enough. Actions can never be enough, can they? Can we ever earn the right amount of good deeds in order to make it to Jannah? Can we purchase Jannah through our deeds? Never. Never at all. So how is it that we get to Jannah? By doing something to earn Allah's pleasure. Because when we will make Him happy, then He will admit us into Jannah. Inshallah. And what is mentioned about Jannah over here, so amazing. Clean hearts. Can you imagine? That no bad feeling, no dislike, no envy, no anger. Why? Because if these feelings remain in the heart, then can you enjoy? Can you enjoy? Has it ever happened that somebody said something nasty to you while you're sitting, sipping on your favorite drink? And then what happens? They said something nasty and your drink is in front of you. But you can't sip it. You can't sip it. You can't even have a sip. You have food in front of you, but you can't enjoy it. Have you ever seen people fighting when they're on vacation? A lot. Amazing. They've spent thousands of dollars to go over that vacation. What happens? They're stressed out. They're arguing. They're fighting. They can't relax. Why? Because the heart is full of negativity. So the best thing about Jannah is, of the best things about Jannah, that the hearts will be clean. Because only when the heart is clean can you feel relaxed. Can you enjoy? You can only then enjoy company and good things. And the companions of paradise will call out to the companions of the fire, we have already found what our Lord promised us to be true. Have you found what your Lord promised to be true? They will say yes. Then an announcer will announce among them, the curse of Allah shall be upon the wrongdoers. Who are they? They are those who averted people from the way of Allah and sought to make it seem deviant while they were concerning the hereafter disbelievers. This is what prevents entry into Jannah. Rejecting the truth, stopping people from it. And between them will be a partition. between the people of Jannah and the people of hell, there will be a screen. And on its elevations, on the A'raf, meaning there is a certain place that is high, and the people on this place, they can see the people of Jannah, and they can also see the people of hellfire. How? Allah knows. But it can happen. Either the scholars have said that this A'raf refers to the Qantara, the bridge that is before Jannah. Because remember that each person has to cross hellfire. Each person. Some will fall into the fire, and others will make it to the other side. And when they make it to the other side, then they don't just enter Jannah like that. There is another crossing, and that is the Qantara. Another bridge, where the hearts will be cleaned, where disputes will be resolved. And then people will be allowed to enter Jannah. So, some people who will be there on that Qantara, or this is another place, A'raf, meaning they're held back, they're not yet granted entry into paradise. So, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ, on its elevations are men who recognize all by their mark. Meaning they will recognize the people of Jannah, and they will recognize the people of hell. And they call out to the companions of paradise, peace be on you. As they will see people going into Jannah, they will say, Salamun alaykum, peace be on you. They have not yet entered it, but they long intensely. Has it ever happened that you're standing outside somewhere? There's a line, and some people, they get their tickets, and you're like, hope you have a good time. Did you get your ticket yet? No, not yet, still waiting. Well, hopefully you get it. Just imagine being the one who's still waiting in line, because your turn has not yet come. Imagine the agony. They have not yet entered it, but they long intensely. So, you see, right now, we have to respond to Allah's call quickly, so that we are also quickly admitted into Jannah. If we delay, procrastinate, then may Allah save us. We might be delayed from entering Jannah as well. And imagine the torture. And when their eyes are turned toward the companions of the fire, they will say, Our Lord, do not place us with the wrongdoing people. And the companions of the elevations will call to men within hell, whom they recognize by their mark, saying, Of no avail to you was your gathering, and the fact that you were arrogant. Allah will say, Are these the ones whom you inhabitants of hell swore that Allah would never offer them mercy? Enter paradise, O people of the elevations. No fear will there be concerning you, nor will you grieve. This is a very common misconception, that if someone is suffering in this world, materially, physically, financially, what do people think of him? He's a loser, here and there. And if somebody is doing really good here, then they think that, oh, he'll be good in the hereafter also. But what do we see here? It's the exact opposite. People who are mocked at, they're being admitted into Jannah. People who lived in fear, they're admitted into Jannah. And the companions of the fire will call to the companions of paradise, pour upon us some water, or from that which Allah has provided you. They will say, indeed, Allah has forbidden them both to the disbelievers. Those who took their religion as distraction and amusement, and whom the worldly life deluded. So today, we will forget them, just as they forgot the meeting of this day of theirs, and for having rejected our verses. This religion is a very serious matter, and one should not remain in deception concerning it. Never think, oh, so-and-so is also doing this wrong thing. So what if I do it? Oh, so-and-so doesn't do this good thing. So what if I also don't do it? No, they're not our criteria. Our goal is to please Allah. Deen is something very serious. So those whom the worldly life deluded, who forgot the meeting with Allah, so what will happen? They will also be forgotten. The Prophet ﷺ said, shield yourself from the fire. Keep a veil between yourself and the fire. اجعلوا بينكم وبين النار حجابا ولو بشق تمرة. Even if it be just through half of a date. Use something, give something, do anything, do something good that will be a shield between you and hellfire, a hijab between you and the fire. The Prophet ﷺ also said, there will be none among you but that his Lord will talk to him. And there will be no interpreter between him and Allah. He will look to his right and see nothing but his deeds which he had sent forward. And he will look to his left and see nothing but his deeds which he had sent forward. And he will look in front of him and see nothing but the hellfire facing him. So save yourself from the fire, even with half a date. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Or in another version, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. Save yourself from the fire, even if it be through just one good word. In another hadith we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin the judgment, He will call upon a servant and will say, "O so and so, did I not honor you and make you the chief and provide you the spouse and subdue for you horses and camels and afforded you an opportunity to rule over your subjects? Meaning I gave you this and this and this and this. Did I not do this to you?" And the person will say, "Yes." It will be said, "Did you not think that you would meet us?" He will say, "No." The person will say, "No, I never thought I would meet you, O Allah." Allah will say, "Well, we forget you as you forgot us." فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. They rejected our verses. وَلَقَدْ جِئْنَاهُمْ بِكِتَابٍ. And we had certainly brought them a book which we detailed by knowledge as guidance and mercy to a people who believe. This book is a mercy for us. It's guidance, something that will save us from the hellfire. It's not meant to make our lives difficult. When a person adheres to the Qur'an, he's not making his life difficult. In fact, he's doing himself a favor. Do they await, accept its result? Meaning, are they waiting for the Day of Judgment to happen? The day its result comes, those who had ignored it before will say, "The messengers of our Lord had come with the truth." So are there now any intercessors to intercede for us? Or could we be sent back to do other than we used to do? They will have lost themselves, and lost from them is what they used to invent. Indeed, your Lord is Allah. Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then established Himself above the throne. Allah is above the throne, not nowhere or everywhere. Allah created. Remember that Allah created the throne with His own hand. Ibn Umar said that Allah created 4 things with His own hands, and of them is the arsh, the pen, Adam and Jannah. And no one knows the size, the expanse of this throne except Allah. Allah, He is the one who covers the night with the day. Another night chasing it rapidly. And He created the sun, the moon and the stars, subjected by His command, unquestionably. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amru. His is the creation and the commandment. Blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiyah. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadeen. Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Instead of disobeying Him in private, what should you do? Call upon Him. Indeed, He does not like transgressors. And do not cause corruption upon the earth after its reformation, and invoke Him in fear and aspiration. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near the doers of good. Meaning, while making dua, don't just ask. Do some ihsan also. Do some tasbih, some sadaqah, so that the dua will be accepted soon. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And it is He who sends the winds as good tidings before His mercy, until when they have carried heavy rain clouds, we drive them to a dead land, and we send down rain therein, and bring forth thereby some of all the fruits. Thus will we bring forth the dead, perhaps you may be reminded. And the good land, its vegetation emerges by permission of its Lord. But that which is bad, nothing emerges except sparsely, with difficulty. Thus do we diversify the signs for people who are grateful. So the whole lesson, the essence of all that we have learned over here is what? That Allah has sent this book as guidance, as instruction, as mercy for our own good. We follow it, we obey Allah, we perform good deeds, we are only doing ourselves a favor. When we do good, it's like we are planting seeds. That is what we will get. Good land produces good results. And bad land, what does it produce? Bad results. And the hearts, what are they like? They're like soil. Soil. What we do, that will grow. If we do good, good will grow. If we do bad, bad will grow. One good deed leads to another, and one sin also leads to another. And now, the stories of the prophets begin.
لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Certainly, we had sent Nuh to his people, and he said, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of a tremendous day. The eminent among his people said, Indeed, we see you in clear error. The Prophet of Allah said, O people, worship Allah alone. Because if you do not do that, I fear that you will be punished on a tremendous day. And what did the people say in response? That we think you are in clear error. Nuh said, O my people, there is no error in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. The fact is that they themselves were misguided. And they viewed the Messenger of Allah to be misguided. I convey to you the messages of my Lord and advise you. And I know from Allah that which you do not know. Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you, that he may warn you and that you may fear Allah so you might receive mercy? Meaning, what is so strange over here? You find it strange that a human prophet has come to you? But they denied him, so we saved him and those who were with him in the ship. Many times it happens that a person is conveying the truth to someone, something good he's telling somebody. But what happens? The other people refuse to accept it simply because it is coming from you. They say, what makes you special? What do you think of yourself? And they try to belittle the person who is telling them the truth. The same thing happened with Nuh alayhi salam. They belittled him. They said, you're only a human being. And the Prophet of Allah warned them. But when they refused to change, what happened? They denied him, so we saved him and those who were with him in the ship. And we drowned those who denied our signs. Indeed, they were a blind people. In hadith, we learn that pride, arrogance, is to belittle people and to reject the truth. بَطَرُ الْحَقْ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. To reject the truth and to look down on people. And many times, this pride becomes a hurdle, a barrier between a person and the truth. It doesn't let him accept the truth. He does not accept it. Why? Because it is coming from a human being, from a person who is just like him. So what do we see over here? That these people, they were blind. And Allah guides His friends to light from darkness. He makes the ways of hidayah easy for them. But those people who oppose the messengers, then what happens? Their companions, their friends are who? Shayateen, devils. And this battle has been going on since the beginning, because Nuh alayhi salam was the first messenger who was sent. So who is successful? The person who recognizes the truth and accepts it. Not the one who gets stuck thinking that, oh, but why should I accept it because this person is telling me. Then such a person can never be guided. And to the people of Ad, we sent their brother Hud. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. Then will you not fear Him? The eminent ones, those who disbelieved among His people, they said, Indeed we see you in foolishness, and indeed we think you are of the liars. The people of Nuh said, We think you are in error. The people of Ad said, We think you are of those who are foolish. We think that you are lying. So this is something that's not new. People who call to Allah have been called misguided. They have been called liars. They have been called foolish and wrong. Hud alayhi salam, what did he say? His response was that, O my people, there is no foolishness in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey to you the messages of my Lord. Wa ana lakum nasihun amin. And I am to you a trustworthy advisor. I am to you a trustworthy advisor. The prophets of Allah, they were all truthful. They were sincere. They were honest men. And this is why they were considered reliable also. And this is why Allah also chose them for the responsibility of prophethood, for conveying the message to others. Because it is only the trustworthy people who can be given this heavy task, this heavy responsibility. But what happened? Even though the people recognized the prophets to be truthful and trustworthy, when they spoke the truth, when they called them to Allah, the people rejected them. The Prophet ﷺ said, Islam began as strange and will become strange just as it had begun. It began as strange and it will become strange exactly as it started. So good news for the strangers. Good news for who? The ghuraba. It was said, who are the strangers? The Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. Those who do good, those who do right, when people have become corrupt. So we see that the Prophets of Allah, they were sent to communities that had become corrupt. One community had the corruption of shirk. Another had some other corruption that had become common in them. But the Prophets of Allah, what did they do? الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. Because generally what happens? We think, do what everybody else is doing. Don't go against the flow. Because if you go against the flow, then what will happen? People will criticize you. They will oppose you. And we see that this happened with the messengers of Allah. They were opposed. They were criticized. But the Prophet ﷺ said, good news is for who? For the strangers. Meaning those who adhere to truth, even if they are very few. Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you that he may warn you? And remember when he made you successors after the people of Nuh and increased you in stature extensively, meaning he gave you good physical health. So remember the favors of Allah that you might succeed. فَذْكُرُوا أَلَىٰ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So when is it that a person is successful? When he remembers the problems in his life? When is he successful? When he remembers the blessings, the favors of Allah. They said, have you come to us that we should worship Allah alone and leave what our fathers have worshipped? Then bring us what you promise us, if you should be of the truthful. Hud alayhi salam said, already has defilement and anger fallen upon you from your Lord. Meaning the fact that you're demanding punishment, what does it show? That you're not on the path of guidance. Do you dispute with me concerning mere names that you have named, that you have invented? Meaning, what is the reality of these idols that you worship? It's just names. It's just things, objects that you have labeled. You and your forefathers have done this. And this, Allah has not sent down any authority for it. Then wait, indeed, I am with you among those who wait. So we saved him and those with him by mercy from us. And we eliminated those who denied our signs. And they were not at all believers. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And to the Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. This is the she-camel of Allah sent to you as a sign, because they demanded a miracle and the exact miracle was shown to them. So leave her to eat within Allah's land and do not touch her with harm, lest there seize you a painful punishment. And remember when he made you successors after the Ad. Again over here we see that these people are reminded of the blessings of Allah, the favors of Allah. Because when a person remembers the favors of Allah, then what happens? His heart inclines towards Allah. He begins to appreciate his blessings, gratitude comes, and gratitude is the gate, it is the door to obedience. It is the door to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he settled you in the land, and you take for yourselves palaces from its plains and carve from the mountains homes. Again, فَذْكُرُوا أَلَىٰ اللَّهِ. Then remember the favors of Allah, and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption. The Prophet ﷺ also advised us, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَلَىٰ اللَّهِ. Reflect on the blessings, the favors of Allah. That is what will draw you closer to Allah. وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And do not be busy reflecting on the being of Allah, the Exalted. Meaning, don't think about, okay, what kind of a hand does Allah have? How big is Allah? What is the face of Allah like? Don't think about these things. Why? Because you can never know these answers. Can we? The more we reflect, the more questions we will have. So the Prophet ﷺ advised us that we should reflect on the gifts that Allah has given us. Because that is how we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eminent ones among His people who were arrogant, they said to those who were oppressed, to those who believed amongst them, do you actually know that Salih is sent from his Lord? They said, indeed we in that which he was sent with are believers. So the people, the leaders, the arrogant ones, the people with power and influence, they questioned the believers. They said, do you really think Salih is speaking the truth? Do you really believe in him? They said, yes, we do. Whatever that he was sent with, we believe in that. Those who were arrogant said, indeed we in that which you have believed are disbelievers. So they hamstrung, they killed the she-camel and were insolent toward the command of their Lord. And they said, O Salih, bring us what you promise us if you should be of the messengers. So the earthquake seized them and they became within their homes corpses fallen prone. Those who were arrogant, what happened to them? They fell on their faces lifeless. And he turned away from them and he said, O my people, I had certainly conveyed to you the message of my Lord and I had advised you, but you do not like advisors. You do not like people to advise you. Does this happen with us sometimes? That if somebody gives us feedback, if they advise us that perhaps we should do things differently, perhaps we should think about how we are doing things, we get offended. Sometimes the advice comes from a child. Sometimes it comes from someone who is younger than us. Sometimes it comes from a person whom we don't really get along with. What we need to do is get past the person and think about what they are telling us. Because if we refuse to accept it, then we're only going to harm ourselves. The people who were destroyed, they were those who did not like an-nasihin. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ And we had sent Lut when he said to his people, Do you commit such immorality as no one has preceded you with from among the worlds? إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ Indeed, you approach men with desire instead of women. Rather, you are a transgressing people. Why? Because this action is haram. And it is not just unlawful, it's also very dangerous. But the answer of his people was only that they said, evict them from your city. If you don't like us, don't stay with us. Go away from here. Indeed, they are men who keep themselves pure. So we see that they mocked at Lut alayhi salam. They mocked at him saying that, oh, you are very pure, you are very clean. That's why you're stopping us. If you don't like what we do, then you can leave because we are not going to change. It seems very harsh, but sometimes this happens in our lives as well. That when somebody is advising us, we say, we're not going to change. You can do whatever you want. If you don't like it, go from here. If you don't like what I do, then leave. This is also a sign of pride, of arrogance. And remember that pride is something that prevents a person from accepting the truth. So he saved him and his family, except for his wife. Why? Why was she not saved? Because she was of those who remained with the evildoers. She was married to the Prophet of Allah. But her loyalties were with who? Were with the disbelieving, with the wrongdoing people. Her sympathies were with them. So she was among them in the punishment. And we rained upon them a rain of stones. Then see, how was the end of the criminals? And to the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. So fulfill the measure and wait, and do not deprive people of their due, and cause not corruption upon the earth after its reformation. That is better for you if you should be believers. Meaning when Allah has set things right, when Allah has made things in the right order, with the right balance, then what is our obligation? That as the servants of Allah, we should not corrupt the balance that He has maintained. وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صِرَاطٍ And do not sit on every path, threatening and averting from the way of Allah those who believe in Him, seeking to make it seem deviant. And remember when you were few and He increased you, and see how was the end of the corruptors. Those who spread corruption in the land, their end is never good. Those who spread corruption in the house, in a family, who disrupt the peace that exists between husband and wife, that exists between children, that exists between parents and children, friends, neighbors, in a society. Such people, the mufsideen, their outcome is never good. And if there should be a group from among you who has believed in that which I have been sent with, and a group that has not believed, then be patient until Allah judges between us. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ And He is the best of the judges. Meaning His judgment is best. Because many times it happens that there is great difference and opposition between people who are living in the same place, who are coexisting. So this creates a lot of strife. This creates a lot of tension. So in this situation, what should be done? A person must refer his matter to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and await His decision, and rely upon Allah, believing that Allah's decision is the best.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.